So glad that Jesus is alive and with us this morning. And, you know, at the second service, there's often a lot more children, little ones, grade school and below, and also nursery activity. And if you would like, if you kind of say, well, I can help in the nursery at 10:45, one of the folks who was supposed to help it feeling real ill. And so we have one nursery person, but if you can say, well, I'd like to work in the nursery, you know, and be with those little babies and think of that blessing. Be there at the nursery about 10:30 or so as people start to arrive. Carol's Sarber's going to be there and should sure could use some help if you would like to join her. And if it, she gets overwhelmed, we'll just have the children in the foyer. That would be fine, too, just to prepare for that. Well, Easter is my favorite time of the year in terms of praising God. And for Easter, you know, we don't have the Christmas songs that are so familiar and so powerful for us, but we have Jesus conquering sin and death for us. And I always thought if Christ could conquer my biggest enemy, then with his help, I could face the other ones in my life. And I hope you feel that way, that Christ has taken care of death and eternity and the penalty of sin for us. He really loves us and wants to change our lives on a regular basis. And it was before Christmas that I began to think of Easter again, this last Christmas, because even though Christmas was coming up and I was looking forward to it in a lot of ways, I was feeling down in my emotions. And I wasn't really able to connect real well with the joy of the season and all that. I was thinking, you know, because there were certain things in my life happening that were related to loss. A lot of experiences I was having with family, for example, were over, and we were in a lot of life transitions in my family. So I thought the good times that I've had with key loved ones, boy, they're over, and I can't regain them. I can't relive them. And then I heard a message from the Bible where a fellow was preaching around Christmas time, and he said, you know, because of Christmas, because of Jesus giving his life for us, rising from the dead, that you and I are given the gift of eternal life. And we really have, in a real sense, trillions and trillions of years to spend loving God and also being with loved ones who also love God. And I thought, you know, the things that I miss with key loved ones, I mean, I still miss that, still miss them, but I look forward to the truth and the reality of life forever with God now, life forever with God in heaven and loved ones who know him. So I hope you have a sense of that, a reunion with God, with loved ones who love him, that Christ would bring. I think that's one of the greatest hopes and realities we have. And Jesus met three people on that first resurrection day that certainly needed a lot of hope. You know, they went to the graveside, and they were expecting a lot of grief and a lot of sadness that they were still experiencing. And even when Jesus was present, they really didn't know it. You might say, well, this is a graveside service, and it's very sad. But something changed. And you might be, well, this is another Easter service. May have been the 50 of them, you know, or some. The second service will be in their 90th plus Easter service. But Jesus would come and say something to them from him, from his heart to their heart, and their lives would be changed. Well, Jesus appears to people at the tomb, and in a very quiet way, there were some women there, Mary Magdalene being the leader of them, and then Peter and John eventually came. And I thought, boy, if I was going to give the Lord some advice, which we often like to do, you know, hey, Jesus, why don't you show up at the temple in a big worship service where everybody is? That would get everybody's attention, and they would certainly believe in you then. Or why don't you wait for the next big parade like on Palm Sunday, and you could say, I've risen from the dead, and come on, follow me, and I'm sure everybody would. But God had a better plan. Meeting people in their time of need. I'll meet you at the perhaps the darkest place, which would be his his grave to show he's the light of the world. He rose from the dead. And whatever dark place you have in your heart, whether it's loss or sin, or your own rebellion against God, Christ will gladly meet you there. Listen for his voice. And two or three troubled people met the Lord the first resurrection day. Some of the ones didn't believe until that evening, most of the disciples. And Thomas, the disciple, he didn't believe until a week later. That might be you. But the Lord still, he's still after you. My family and I used to go to the graveside every Easter when I was in grade school. And we would go to pray at the grave of my grandfather, who I'd never met. And so my dad would always tell us, we're going to the graveside. Please be quiet. Be on your best behavior. Be serious. We're going to kneel and we're going to pray. We prayed the Lord's Prayer and then we're going to go. And that's what we did. And I remember as a little boy having all kind of mixed emotions about that. I was glad to see my dad was comforted by that experience. We would go and we would kneel. And I could still feel under my knees the little cement barrier on my grandfather's tomb. And we would kneel there. And we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Then we got up. We paused for what seemed like 15 seconds. And then back to the car we went. Not saying a lot. Not sharing a lot of news. And for my little heart, there was a lot of uncertainty about all that. My thinking was this. Where's Grandpa? And why aren't we talking about that? That's what I was thinking about as a little boy. Is Grandpa in the dirt? Is Grandpa in heaven? Like I heard a little bit about heaven. Is Grandpa in hell? I heard a little bit about that also. Or is Grandpa somewhere in between? And we're kind of there to boost him on, you know, so that someday he gets to heaven. I remember thinking, if Grandpa, if he's relying on my prayers to get him to heaven, sadly, he's going to probably be waiting a long time. That'd be a sad thing to deal with. But I remember thinking at that graveside, can somebody give me good news about God conquering death? And one thing I knew about being at that graveside, we didn't run around as children, nor did the adults there. And I've been to a lot of graveside services, probably over 100. Never seen people running around for any reason. Running. But when the first resurrection day came, everybody who heard ran. They ran. Their life started to get changed. Mary Magdalene, the first one to come to the tomb, perhaps, she sees it's empty. She gets all concerned. She don't know if Jesus is alive or not. She runs back to the disciples. Some would, in your heart, you might be running with wonder. Is it true or is it not true? Seeking to find purpose in life. That's Mary Magdalene. She tells the disciples the tomb is empty. Peter and John, they take off, the Bible says, running. If we could look outside, there's a hill, there's a farm hill back here. And if it was a graveyard, if we saw three people running back and forth in the graveyard, we'd think, what in the world? Something is going on up there. Something is going on. And so the disciples run. Peter and John, some of the key leaders. And John, in his gospel, when he says, I remember Jesus rising from the dead like it was just yesterday. When he writes, he says, the two disciples, they ran. And one ran ahead of Peter. He got there first. That was John. That would be like me telling a story. Mike and I went to the Bible study. And someone got there ahead of Mike. That would be me. I would be saying, hey, I wanted to feel like I'm a part of this. John mentions that three times. He said, Peter looked into the tomb. But remember, the other fellow got there first. He mentions it three times. So maybe in John, there was a sense where I want to know if Jesus is for me, too. Maybe a little humorous competition going with Peter. I don't know. But I know this. Their lives started to be changed when news came to Mary. She goes back to the disciples and says, I have seen the Lord. That's something the Lord wants us to say in our hearts. Not that we've physically seen him. I know, don't know anybody who would say that about themselves. But spiritually, we have seen the Lord in our hearts, the risen Christ. And that starts to be a testimony. When I was a little boy, back at the graveside of my grandpa, if somebody would have told me, Jesus is risen, your grandfather is with him forever, rejoicing, I think I'd have ran. I'd have either ran to pray, say thank you, Lord, or I'd have ran away from the graveside saying, I know what the future holds because of the gift of Christ. It would certainly change my heart. And the Lord began to change lives. And would you want him to change your life? Because he lives. He changed Mary's life. Mary, she was possessed by seven demons. And she met Christ. And her life was changed. Now, sometimes we think we have huge sin problems. And I think we do. But I don't know anybody in here who's been possessed by seven demons. And if Christ can change Mary's life, he certainly can change your life. You're not too bad for him. He would meet you and set your heart free and help you to follow him. Peter was a guy, type A personality, leader, always, you know, active, doing something. And you're like that. You might think, I don't know if I need the risen Christ. When Peter, the go-getter, met the risen Christ, his life was changed. He said, I'll follow Jesus now. I don't have to be ahead of him. John, the guy who kept saying, I got there first. John, the guy who kept saying, the disciple who Jesus loved. That says a lot about John. He felt like he wanted to be maybe closest to the Lord. It would be like, again, me saying, we're glad to be here in worship. And now the one who Jesus loves is going to lead us in singing. Fred, he'd feel good about that. But you would say, Fred, for Fred to have to be reminded of that, maybe Fred had a lot of uncertainty about that. Maybe he had to keep saying it until he knew. If you're not sure this morning if Christ loves you, you're the one who Jesus loves. You are the one. So thank him for that. But those lives were changed. I met a fellow pastor probably about 15 years now ago, a Presbyterian pastor, good-hearted fella, at least in terms of people, who was serving in the town where I served. And he got into being a pastor because he liked helping people. But in his words, he wasn't sure about all this Jesus stuff. Okay, so that was scary. So he's serving as a pastor, and he's a single man, and he has a fondness for one particular young gal in the church who he hopes to date one day and eventually marry. And so they're, you know, going on with the church life and checking each other out. And tragically, she dies in a car accident. And his heart is it's broken. The closeness that he was looking forward to just was taken away. And he was asked to do her funeral. So in his own words, he said he had to face his own despair and realizing without God's help, he didn't have anything to say about this loved one who had died an untimely death in a car accident. He didn't know what to say. And he had to come to grips in his own life whether he believed that Jesus was really God's son, who would die for sin and raise from the dead to offer life forever. And in that crisis, in that sadness that he felt, he gave his life to Christ. Cried his way through the funeral and began to walk with the Lord and have a very good ministry, helping others to have faith in a living Savior. Christ can change a heart that doesn't believe to a heart that does believe, and how God is honored when that happens. And I share a story that the change that happens, almost like an awakening from spiritual death to life. That's how the Bible describes it. In my life, I was knocked out two times, messing around with sports stuff. One was at a baseball game. I was six, and there's a high school team playing baseball, and I'm wandering in the outfield. There's no fence, so I'm wandering in the outfield, being where I'm not supposed to be. And the team hits a long ball, goes way past the outfielders, and I'm looking at that ball coming my way, and I'm thinking, I'll help the team get this ball. So I run toward the ball, and the outfielder, big, you know, senior in high school, comes running after the ball. He yells, "No, don't touch it." I don't listen to him. I go for the ball. He goes for the ball. Our heads bang. His head's a lot harder than mine. I'm out. I knew that I was something had happened because there was nothing happening. And then I knew that when I awoke, he was over me and my dad was over me, and they were, the man was saying he's sorry and all this. But I knew that I awoke. I was not conscious, and then I was conscious. I was glad to be conscious again. And Charles Spurgeon, when he talked about meeting Christ, he said, it's like that. We don't know much about God. We don't know Him. And then when we awake, we know it. We know it. In fact, he asked the question, if you don't know it, if you don't know Christ, he said, how can a man pass from death to life and not know it? You would know it if we could interview Lazarus. Lazarus, you were in the tomb. Did you know it when you were coming out of that grave? Oh, yeah, I was alive. Oh, yeah. And so would you say in your heart, I know the living Christ, and I know I'm going to be with Him forever? Are you like me at that graveside? I wonder what's going to happen to my loved one. I wonder what's going to happen to me laying in the dirt someday. You know, there's Paul, who was a very, very sharp man. He said this, I know who I have believed. I'm persuaded Christ is able to keep me until the end. And so there's two things that the future holds for you and I, two things that are for sure. One day we'll close our eyes on earth. We'll close them. And because of Christ alone, because we've trusted Him, we'll open our eyes in heaven. We do look forward to that day. That's our real home. Perhaps God takes us back to a new earth and all that. That's great. As long as Jesus is there, personally, I don't care if I'm in heaven or in a new earth. But we'll close our eyes on earth, open our eyes in heaven by the grace of God. Trillions and trillions of years with Him. But what's also true, which is very scary, and it could happen to Mary, could happen to Peter, could happen to John. Someday, without Christ, you would close your eyes on earth and open them without Christ. Open them in hell. Hell is as real as heaven, and heaven is as real as hell. And there's two things that are true about me for certain. For certain. One, and see if God would say the same thing to your heart. One, I know I deserve to go to hell. I know that. Would the Holy Spirit say that to your heart? I know I deserve to go to hell. And the second thing is also true and so different and so much good news that because of Christ, by the mercy of God, I will go to heaven with Jesus. Because He knocks on the door of our heart. If we open the door, He says, He'll come in and be with us, and we'll be with Him. And this morning and throughout our life, Jesus has been knocking on the door of our hearts. He wants us to open the door so He would come in and be with us, and we with Him. He's a risen Savior. He didn't rise from the dead to save us from a long nap. Long nap for those who say, well, when you die, you just die. And that's it. You're unconscious forever. Jesus didn't die on a cross, raised from the dead to save us from a long nap, but to save us that we might go to heaven, to save us from a judgment that we deserve. How about you? Do you know for sure that you've awakened? God would like you to know for sure. If you would say, we come to Christ by prayer and we say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin. I turn to You. Thank You for being my living Savior and Lord. And what was true about you can be, what was true about the three people in the Bible on Easter can be true about you. All three of them, when they met the risen Christ, he said, Mary, and she said, Teacher. What happened to Mary and John and Peter can happen to you. All three of those real people followed Jesus. It just wasn't a one time, okay, I believe because I don't want to be without you, Jesus. I'll just believe today and I'm good for the rest of my life here. They believed, and all three of them, all with their baggage, you know, they weren't perfect from that day on. They followed Jesus. And how about you? Would you really like to trust him? Would you really like to follow him? He'll help you in every way. And then the prayer from Psalm 17 is kind of like our testimony. It says this, when I awake in heaven, I will be fully satisfied, for I will see you face to face. And that'd be a prayer of anticipating life forever with Christ. It could be your experience tomorrow morning. If you receive Christ today, you say, I awoke for the first morning. I knew I had a Savior. I knew I was going to heaven for sure. And then someday you'll open your eyes in heaven and you'll say, I was fully satisfied with God. Life forever with him. He's so gracious. He loves us so much. Could you turn to Christ in your heart if you've never done so? Say, I want to be a Christian in my heart. We're going to sing it at the second service. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart by having Jesus come in. He'll do that for you. Could we pray and ask God to work in hearts this morning? Lord, each one of us here, we really stand in the shoes of a lot of these folks in the Bible, whether we're like Mary, past messed up beyond description, or present. So Peter, just a go-getter and runs ahead of God. John, who says, I got to be first. I got to be the one to feel the love. Wherever we're at with you, thank you that you will reach out to us and change our lives. I pray for anybody here today, Jesus, who would say to you, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if Jesus is my Savior. You simply don't know it. I don't know if I've ever awakened. Lord, might you bring life from yourself to the dear ones. You love them. How you're knocking on the door of their heart if they say, Jesus, be my Savior. Help me to follow you. What a beginning they'll have. And that's what Easter is, Lord, a beginning of what changed lives, what changed the world. So might just some quietly pray that in these moments. Hear the silent prayers. And Lord, may those who prayed and those who continue to follow be like Mary and Peter and John. They did follow. And they were intentional. Nobody had to, you know, twist their arms to follow Jesus. They just said, he's the one I love. Look what he did for me. Might our hearts be like that as we continue to follow. And bless us with the awareness of your grace, mercy, and life eternal with you. In your great name we pray. Amen.